live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, as 36 people await admission to Letterkenny University Hospital today, the INMO says the hospital crisis is now a humanitarian issue. Meanwhile, it's been claimed that the ongoing failure to provide funding to reopen the short-stay ward at the hospital is down to a case of mismanagement. Just under €130,000 has been allocated to the Donegal Volunteer Centre to ensure it continues to enhance and expand its services in 2018. And a Donegal County Councillor says a lot of flooding on roads is easily preventable, but more action is needed. Those stories to follow on Full Plus More, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. First in news, the INMO says the hospital crisis is now a humanitarian issue. The number of people waiting on trolleys and in overflow areas of wards reached 644 this morning. It's a national increase of over 100 people on yesterday's figures. At Letterkenny University Hospital today, there were 36 people awaiting admission, 11 up on yesterday's figure. 23 of those were on emergency department trolleys. Deputy General Secretary of the INMO, David Hughes, says the situation is at crisis point.
Nurses are at burnout, and we really are into the stage now where this is a humanitarian issue. Patients are not getting the treatment or proper accommodation in hospitals that they deserve. It's just wrong, and something drastic has to be done.
Meanwhile, it's been confirmed that the full capacity protocol has remained in place at Letterkenny University Hospital for almost 4 weeks. The full capacity protocol was implemented on the 27th of December last year, and sealed to say the hospital has experienced unprecedented numbers of patients attending the emergency department from late December and throughout the month of January. It's been claimed that the ongoing failure to provide funding to reopen the short-stay ward at Letterkenny University Hospital is down to a case of mismanagement. An initial funding application was submitted in the summer of 2017, but to date the request remains unanswered. It is long since anticipated that such a move would alleviate the overcrowding issues facing the hospital. Donegal Deputy Charlie McConlogue says the issue needs to be addressed once and for all.
Well, primarily it's an issue for the government. It's also an issue for the HSE, but ultimately the government has to ensure the HSE acts. And it's not an issue that's simply a matter of trolley numbers increasing over Christmas or in the first part of January. This has become a chronic issue at Letterkenny University Hospital, where, for example, in 2016, there was 2,000 instances of patients in trolleys, whereas that increased to 5,000 cases of patients in trolleys last year in 2017. The only way that can be addressed is by delivering additional bed capacity to the hospital. This additional 20 beds can be delivered very promptly if the staff funding for the staff come forward. And while the Minister and the Government may be willing to talk about reports in terms of additional bed, building additional bed capacity for the future and building new hospitals, they continue to ignore the capacity Letterkenny has if they simply provided the funding for the staff to put these beds in place. It's absolutely unacceptable. It's a total failure of government taking leadership on what is an issue which could be delivered on if the will was there, and it must actually be delivered upon, because Letterkenny will continue to suffer a problem with trolleys unless the government actually deliver these additional beds.
The government will publish a summary of the legal advice it got on the holding of an abortion referendum. It recommended a clause be put in the constitution allowing the Oireachtas to control abortion laws if the Eighth Amendment is repealed. A number of opposition parties have queried whether the line is necessary. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar said he'll publish a summary today so people can judge for themselves.
The Minister for Health today will publish what's called a precis paper. It's a summary of the Attorney General's legal advice, explaining the rationale behind his legal advice, and that is somewhat unprecedented. Something similar was done in 1983. Legal advice, as you know, is privileged for very good reasons, but we're happy to make an exception on this occasion.
A Donegal councillor says the local road network in the county is crumbling because too much money is being diverted to the maintenance of regional roads. Councillor Kieran Brogan says the problem goes back to the abolition over 5 years ago of the specific roads improvement scheme for regional roads. Councillor Brogan says this has created a situation where roads which carry huge volumes of traffic are deteriorating because the money isn't there to maintain them properly. He wants the council to lobby the government for the restoration of the grant and also to carry out a review of how money for the upkeep of roads is distributed. Councillor Kieran Brogan says it's an important issue.
We have a huge amount of regional roads in Donegal, but the specific road grant that was there was abolished in 2012. I've asked the council today to, we're not getting enough money for roads in Donegal, particularly our regional roads. What's happened as a result of that specific funding being abolished in 2012 is that a lot of the money for the local roads have to be spent and keeping the upgrading the regional roads, and therefore the local roads then are suffering. The local network is crumbling as we speak. We're going to send correspondence off to the government and hopefully we'll get a favourable response. But I mean, we need additional money for the regional roads. Over the years we've seen vast improvements with the specific road improvements in areas like Woodlands and areas like New Mills, but that funding has been cut since 2012. We need to see that reintroduced as a matter of urgency.
And then in terms of the way that it's currently distributed, it has been suggested that that needs to be looked at in terms of not assessing the amount of roads in each municipal district, but perhaps the condition of them. Is that something that you agree with?
Yeah, I think in Letterkenny in particular, since the abolition of the town council, we're not getting enough funding for the road network at all, because we used to get what was known as a block grant for the local road network around Letterkenny, and we don't have that funding anymore. A lot of our local roads are crumbling as we speak, so we need to look at the areas most in need with huge volume, and I've asked the management today to look at that again. They've given undertaking that we as a council will review the funding mechanisms in place.
Meanwhile, Donegal County Council is being urged to write to the Department of Transport to fast-track the necessary funding to repair flood damage in Donegal. In its response, the local authorities say that significant costs have already been recouped and are satisfied that more money is available when required. However, Councillor Noel Jordan says this funding only goes towards road infrastructure and this is not good enough.
I think it's scandalous to think that we all identify that Inis Oen had been hit strongly by flooding damage, but it's nearly 2 years out from the last serious flooding in the southwest of Donegal, and they're still waiting on the necessary funding to address the flood defences. Now, my concern is that all the consultancy reports is there. CFRAM have done a report and showed how much costed it, and we're still at a crossroads here. And I think it's time to step up to the plate. The departments needs to release that funding to address this problem.
The council, in their response today, though, they've said that they get sufficient money. They're quite satisfied with their relationship with the Department of Transport, but you're not quite so happy.
No, I'm not happy, because that addresses the roads, the infrastructure of the roads, but that doesn't address the housing need. There's still people out of their homes and they haven't returned to their homes, and that's a huge concern. It's supposed to get the message out there to all the departments. Housing has to play a part in this, and so has community and rural affairs and environment. It doesn't matter where the money comes from, but we need it now. It needs to be addressed now.
A Donegal County Councillor says a lot of flooding on roads is easily preventable, but more action is needed. Councillor Gerry Crawford has raised concerns about water drainage on Donegal's roads, saying he believes the reason a number of roads flood regularly during heavy rainfall is that water tables are not being properly maintained. The Council's Director of Service Roads and Transportation suggested that each municipal district draw up a priority list of the most serious instances in each area. Councillor Crawford says this is an issue that needs to be resolved without delay.
On many locations, it's the same location, week after week, month after month, year after year. And the council came and told me very strongly today, oh, we've spent an awful lot of money. And they may have done. They may have done, but that's not always apparent to the people who are driving on the same roads, going through the same water problems, experiencing the same problems, their property being flooded. their households being flooded. On one occasion, twice since Christmas this year alone, and once last year or twice the year before. And it's just not a good enough answer to say, oh, we're expending an awful lot of money here. And then on the other hand, you go out the road and you see the same locations every time that it rains, and that's the problem that the people sees, and that's the problem I want resolved.
They have suggested today that they would go to each municipal district and in some way draw up a priority list of these roads. Are you happy with that?
Look, it's baking the same cake over again. The local engineers are very familiar with the problems. The local councillors from all parties are continuously raise the same problems for the same place. The locations are well known. Going back to another talking shop to talk about it is just a step too far. We want action, not words. It's time something positive was done to resolve this.
It's now 5:10. We'll be back after this short break.
How do you make a difference? Discover why thousands of people have made the switch to Toyota Hybrid. Buy any 181 Toyota Hybrid, and if you don't love it, we'll swap it for a 182 petrol or diesel model absolutely free. That's our hybrid guarantee. With Toyota Hybrid, there is no compromise, no plugging in, and for a limited time, you can upgrade to hybrid for free. Toyota. Built for a better world. Terms and conditions apply.
Only the best local produce makes it onto the new menu at Dillon's Bar and Grill in Letterkenny. Relax in comfort and enjoy a light snack, lunch, dinner or Sunday lunch. Try the Artisan McKeever Blend Coffee, which is also available to go. Great food every time, served in the stylish surroundings of the Bar and Grill at Dillon's Hotel in the heart of the Cathedral Quarter, Letterkenny.
Look at the size of me. That's it. I'm going to do it.
You say that every year.
No, this year's different. I'm going to get a new bathroom.
What? I thought you were getting fit.
No, we need a new bathroom. Right Price Tiles and Wood Flooring are having their biggest ever half-price January sale.
What about the gym?
I'll tile that as well.
Right Price Tiles and Wood Flooring. Largest ever half-price January sale extended till Sunday.
A former advisor to Francis Fitzgerald has told the Disclosures Tribunal that receiving an email about the O'Higgins inquiry made him uncomfortable and he felt it was inappropriate. William Lavelle had some recollection of receiving the email, but said Minister Fitzgerald had no role in the O'Higgins Commission. The former Taoiseach and Justice Minister resigned last year over how much she knew about a Garda strategy to call into question the motivation of Maurice McCabe at the inquiry. Juliette Gash reports.
Among the six witnesses before the tribunal today was William Lavelle, a former special advisor to Francis Fitzgerald at the time of the O'Higgins inquiry in 2015. Mr. Lavelle has a vague recollection of receiving an email on May 15th for the attention of the Justice Minister, alerting her and justice officials to a Garda strategy to call into question the motivation of Maurice McCabe. He said he felt uncomfortable being briefed on the O'Higgins Commission, in which the Minister had no role or function, adding that it was inappropriate. Frances Fitzgerald has previously said she did not recall the email of the 15th of May. She's due before the tribunal tomorrow. Juliette Gash at the Disclosures Tribunal.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, supporting this year's Operation Transformation. Gear up for life at michaelmurphysports.ie.
The time is 13 minutes past 5. Time now for the latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with soccer, and Manchester City have completed the club record signing of Aymeric Laporte from Atletico Bilbao. The runaway Premier League leaders have paid the £57 million release clause for the 23-year-old. Laporte has signed a 5-year contract at the Etihad. Meanwhile, City boss Pep Guardiola has confirmed they'll be without Leroy Sané for 6 to 7 weeks. The German forward suffered ankle ligament damage following a challenge from Cardiff's Joe Bennett and Son. Sunday's FA Cup fourth round tie. And Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang has arrived at Arsenal's training ground ahead of his proposed move from Borussia Dortmund. A fee of around £60 million has been agreed between the clubs for the Gabon striker. And one of the League of Ireland's most promising young players has departed for England. Chidozie Aubameyang has left Limerick for Championship side. Brentford, the winger, signed a 3.5-year deal at Griffin Park. Elsewhere, Republic of Ireland defender Andy Boyle is set to join Doncaster Rovers on loan. The former Dundalk centre-half has found game time limited under Alex Neil at Deepdale this season. Doncaster currently sit 14th. In League One. On the field tonight, Arsenal could leapfrog neighbours Spurs into fifth in the Premier League with a win away to bottom side Swansea. Liverpool will hope to end a run of two straight defeats in all competitions when they make the trip to Huddersfield, while Declan Rice is expected to return for West Ham, who play host to Crystal Palace. There's seven ties down for decision in the Championship. Birmingham, they host Sunderland. It's Burton, Albion against Reading. Hull City play Leeds. Middlesbrough against Sheffield Wednesday. Millwall, they host second place Derby County. It's Nottingham Forest against Preston North End. And Sheffield United, they play Aston Villa. Up in Scotland, Celtic manager Brendan Rodgers is backing goalkeeper Doris de Vries to fill the void left by Craig Gordon's injury. The Scotland number one will miss up to 12 weeks with an ankle problem, so de Vries will play in their Scottish Premiership match with Hearts tonight. Kickoff there's at 7:45. Rodgers says he'll now need to find backup for the Dutchman before tomorrow's transfer deadline.
He'll need that similar support with him in the goal, someone that can come in and support him, and obviously if required need it to play in any type of fixture between now and the end of the season that they can come and play in it.
In the Irish Premiership at the Showgrounds tonight, Coleraine host Linfield. 7:45 is the kickoff time. Coleraine can go ahead of Crusaders at the top of the table if they take victory tonight. Back locally, Finn Harps have signed Lee Toland. He's the latest player to agree terms with the Balbofay club. The club confirmed the signing of the defender from Leicester senior league side Letterkenny Rovers yesterday. In school soccer, it was 3-2 was the final scoreline as Mavill Community College's FAI School Seniors Girls National Cup semi-final today in Oriel Park in Dundalk. Mavill were playing Colastia Breed of Enniscorthy. It was 3-0 before half-time for the Donegal side, with goals from Brona McGuinness, Kerry Brown and Megan Havlin. The second half was nervy for a period for the Anishowen side, when with the Wexford side scoring twice, but Mavill were able to keep their one goal advantage after conceding the second and progressed into the final of that competition. In men's colleges action, LYIT had a 4-0 win over Carlo ITB in the colleges league quarter final today. The game took place in the all weather pitch at Carlo IT, and the LYIT now look forward to a league semi final in the coming weeks. In Gaelic games, UL are through to the last eight of the Sigerson Cup following a 2-13-1-11 victory over Cork IT this afternoon. They'll face either UUJ or St Mary's in next week's quarterfinals. And IT Tralee will face either DIT or IT Carlow next week after beating Queens on a 2-8-11 point scoreline today. A late UCC goal has seen them defeat the Garda College 1-12-2-7. In rugby, Jacob Stockdale says he sat out the first few days of Ireland's training camp in Spain last week. The Ulster winger had been suffering from a dead leg received in the province's Champions Cup defeat to Wasps. Stockdale's hoping to make his first Six Nations start in Paris on Saturday, and says he's still getting his bearings with the Irish squad ahead of his debut.
Yeah, that's something that we've been kind of, you know, sorting out this week. You know, trying out a few different combinations, and you know, just feeling the guys around you. On top of that, like, you know, this is a real big week, you know, in terms of getting organised and getting our details set, and you know, really looking at the French and what they do and how they like to play.
Meanwhile, France, they have been struck with a further injury blow ahead of that Six Nations opener with Ireland. Hooker Chris Tolofua will miss the entire competition with a neck injury. Elsewhere, Worcester winger Josh Adams will make his Welsh debut in their opening Six Nations game with Scotland on Saturday. He's the only non-Scarlets player named in the back line, with the Champions Cup quarter-finalists providing 10 of Warren Gatland's starting 15. There's no George North in the match day 23 after the Northampton winger complained of tight legs at the weekend. In cycling, Chris Froome has dismissed Italian press reports that he's ready to accept a reduced ban for his adverse test finding at last year's Valletta. The Sky rider returned a higher than normal finding of salbutamol en route to winning last year's Spanish Grand Tour. Italian paper The Corriere della Sera today claimed Froome was ready to accept a backdated 6 to 9 month ban that would allow him to return for the Giro d'Italia and the Tour de France. but in a single line tweet, Froome says such reports are completely untrue. Finally, this evening in horse racing, Faheen has been confirmed to run on Saturday's Irish Champion Hurdle at Leopardstown. The 10-year-old's last outing saw him pulled up in the Ryanair Hurdle at the same course during the Christmas meeting. The Woolley Mullins rider is one of 9 horses left in contention for the Grade 1, along with the likes of Melon, Defi de Saroy and Jetski. The Irish Champion Hurdle is one of 3 Grade 1s on the opening day of the 2-day Dublin Racing Festival this weekend. That's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8:30 news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. Just under €130,000 in funding has been announced for the Donegal Volunteer Centre to ensure it continues to enhance and expand its services in 2018. Confirming the allocation this afternoon, Government Chief Whip Minister Joe McHugh said the Donegal Volunteer Centre plays a vital role in enabling volunteering locally, allowing people to give back to the community. Centre manager John Kern says since 2008 they have helped 2,500 people to volunteer across a range of areas in Donegal, and this funding will allow them to continue that work.
About 60% of the 300 plus people who approach us every year to volunteer have never volunteered before. And they would come to ourselves and we would work with them to develop their skills and their interests and identify a role that would be suitable for them. And then we would work with community groups on the other side to develop a panel of ideas that they would be able to advertise and recruit volunteers for. So we would help them make the most of the volunteers that are coming into them. We would also then provide a lot of ancillary services. We would do work around governance with our community groups. We would provide guard vetting services, and we provide a lot of training support for the volunteers and for the groups. We would then provide a range of training to our community groups, like I said, around guard abetting and governance and community group structures. And, you know, we're able to, I suppose, intervene and go out and support people who want to get engaged in their communities and those within communities who want to put their best foot forward and deliver for their communities.
The jurors in the rape trial of 2 Ireland rugby players have heard they will hear evidence that one of their friends tried to cover up what's alleged to have happened. Paddy Jackson and his Ulster teammate Stuart Olding deny raping the young woman at a house party in Mr. Jackson's South Belfast home in June 2016. Frank Greeny has more.
In his opening address to the jurors, prosecuting barrister Toby Hedworth laid out the case he intends to present over the next 5 weeks. He said it will be alleged that Paddy Jackson forced himself on the woman at a house party in his home following a night out in a Belfast nightclub. He said it will be further alleged that Stuart Olding forced her to give him oral sex at the same time, and that a third man, Blaine McElroy from Royal Lodge Road in Belfast, walked in stark naked after texting Jackson about the possibility of a threesome. Mr. Hedworth said a fourth man called Rory Harrison from Mance Road in Belfast brought her home in a taxi afterwards, in what he described as an act of apparent gallantry, but that he lied to police in his witness statement and deleted text messages he'd exchanged with her afterwards, in particular one where she told him what happened was not consensual. The woman is due to take the stand and give her evidence tomorrow morning. Frank Graney at Belfast Crown Court.
Finally, Donegal County Council has launched its 2018 tourism brochure, highlighting 6 recommended touring routes for different regions in the county, as well as promoting the Donegal leg of the Wide Atlantic Way, which remains hugely popular. Speaking earlier in the 9 till noon show today, the council's head of tourism, Barney McLaughlin, said the brochure has already been prominently displayed at the holiday fairs in Dublin and Belfast and will be widely distributed both in book form and digitally, with the central message being that the county has something for everyone.
There's something for everybody in Donegal, and that's what we've been telling people over the last 2 weekends, that rain, hail or shine, there's something for you to do in Donegal. Donegal literally is a microcosm of Ireland. It's cram-packed with activities. And the one point we were making to people was, you won't do it in 3 days. You need to look at deciding what activities you want to do, where you want to base yourself, and then deciding when you're going to come back to sample a bit more. And with the new access routes that are actually coming into Dublin, and with the PSO now agreed, Donegal Airport has access out of Dublin, and that's a short flight, and there's some great fly packages available through Donegal Airport, which brings you straight into the heart of Donegal. So Donegal is very accessible out of Dublin by flight and by car and coach.
And for weather now, cloudy this evening with rain, and tonight will be windy with the rain spreading eastwards and then clearing to scattered showers, some heavy with hail and sleet, and some snow showers mainly on high ground, with lowest temperatures of 1 to 3 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, it's been claimed that the ongoing failure to provide funding to reopen the short stay ward at Letterkenny University Hospital is down to a case of mismanagement. An initial funding application was submitted in the summer of 2017, but to date the request remains unanswered. Meanwhile, it's been confirmed that the full capacity protocol has remained in place at Letterkenny University Hospital for almost 4 weeks. The protocol was implemented on the 27th of December last year, and still to say the hospital has experienced unprecedented numbers of patients attending the emergency department from late December and throughout this month. A Donegal County Councillor says a lot of flooding on roads is easily preventable, but more action is needed. Councillor Gerry Crawford has raised concerns about water drainage on Donegal's roads, saying he believes the reason a number of roads flood regularly during heavy rainfall is that water tables are not being properly maintained. And just under 130,000 Irwin funding has been announced for the Donegal Volunteer Centre to ensure it continues to enhance and expand its services in 2018. Confirming the allocation this afternoon, Government Chief Whip Minister Joe McHugh said the Donegal Volunteer Centre plays a vital role in enabling volunteering locally, allowing people to give back to the community. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website at highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, the 30th of January. The death has taken place at the Northwest Hospice of Larry Fowley, Martin Savage Terrace, Sligo. His remains will repose at Nazareth House, Church Hill, Sligo, from 6 o'clock tomorrow evening, with removal at 8 o'clock to St Anne's Parish Church to repose overnight. Requiem Mass at 12 noon on Thursday. Family flowers only, please, donations in lieu if desired to the Northwest Hospice. The death has taken place at the Donegal Hospice Letterkenny of Tony McCormick. His remains are reposing at his home. Removal from there tomorrow morning to St Connell's Church, Lenties, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. House private, please, at the request of the deceased. Family flowers only, please, donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of James McGuinness and Sons, funeral directors, Lenties. The death has taken place in Thailand of Louise Fury, 126 Ard Patrick, Lenties. Her remains will repose at her family home in Lenties from 12 noon tomorrow. Removal from there on Friday morning to St Connell's Church, Lenties, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by burial in the local cemetery. Family time, please, tomorrow night from 11 until 12 noon on Thursday. Family time again from 11 o'clock on Thursday night. Family flowers only, please, donations in lieu if desired to the Kevin Bell Repatriation Trust, care of James McGuinness and Sons, funeral directors, Lenties. The death has taken place of Larry Nash, Liz Carndonna. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonna, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. And the death has taken place of Philomena Donaghy, 38 Brocker Road, Eglinton. Funeral from her home tomorrow morning at 10:25 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Tamnaheiran. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery.